Thanks, Tony. And now I'm going to talk to take you to Bill Floden, who did the actual recovery and knows the history of this particular airplane intimately. Go ahead, Bill.
Thanks, Chuck. I'm going to start off with the history of this particular aircraft and then the early history of the Duck. The whole Duck story started with a guy by the name of Grover Loening. Loening is an early pioneer, contemporary of the Wrights, and he had his own airplane company, which he called Loening Aeronautical and Engineering, at the turn of the century. In 1919, a young guy who was a Navy test pilot joined that company as an extension from the Navy to test fly the M8 monoplane that Loening was building. That guy's name was Leroy Grumman. Grumman was attached to the Navy at that time and worked with Loening for about a year and a half, and joined the Loening company a year and a half later to develop what was called the Loening Amphibian. The Navy had approached Loening and said, we need an amphibian scout plane. And so they developed one. Grumman actually engineered part of the Loening amphibian and the retractable gear on the Loening amphibian. And it was the OL-8 through the OL-5 series. They also built one they called, for the civilian market, called the Loening Air Yacht. The first flew in 1923, and it looks like the predecessor of the Duck. Centerline float, small wingtips, bi-wing, open cockpit, front and back seating, and it, for all intents and purposes, an antique Duck. Flew in first in 1923, and they had it in the canal zone and spread around Alaska and so on and so forth. In the late 20s, Loening decided he would accept a buyout. We all know what happened in 1929. Loening was going to take a buyout from New York bankers, and they wanted to buy Keystone Aviation and move the whole Loening company. At that time, Grumman cocked his house, came up with $16,000. Jake Swerbel borrowed $6,000 from his mother. Ed Poole joined in, and a couple other guys, plus the Loening employees, to start Grumman Aircraft in 1930. Their first endeavor were building floats for the Navy, for a Navy observation airplane, building truck bodies, and doing repairs on Grumman Loening amphibians. That kept them alive for the first couple of years till the Navy came calling again, saying, "Hey, we need an updated Duck." Essentially, they did the design. The Grumman Company did the design, and turned out what was called the JF. Now, keep in mind, this is a J2F. The JF looked very, very similar to this. There are none known, at least none that I know of. If you guys know of where a JF is, underwater or on a hillside, I'd love to hear about it. And they were built in limited numbers as a scout observation airplane for the Navy. That started in 1932-33 period, and they decided that the water handling characteristics weren't that great, so they built the J2F, which is this. What's the difference? A little longer center line float for better water handling and a few other improvements. And they started the J2F series, first with the first experimental, and then the -1, which is built in very limited numbers, -2, -3, and -4. There were 32 -4s ever built. This is one of them. And they built them in very small numbers. The -5 was heading into war years. They built 155 -5s. And then production ramped up at Grumman with Hellcats, Wildcats, all the rest of the stuff. Turned it over to Columbia Aircraft, and Columbia Aircraft built about 300 -6s. So the J2F series in total was about 600 aircraft, and that did include the JF series, which was built in very limited numbers. This airplane was finished by Grumman at the end of 1939, last few months of 39. It was crated up by Grumman and shipped to Hawaii into a holding pool in the first 3 months of 1940. In mid-year 1940, they assembled it and assigned it to the 1st Utility Squadron on Ford Island. First Utility Squadron was on the east side of Ford Island. The Second Utility Squadron was on the west side. It was assigned to that in mid-1940, and they had a good time flying it. They did something like 35 surveys a day, and the boys were having a great time. I would impress upon you that the colors that are on the airplane now are the, not the original paint, but the original paint job. It's not a reproduction. The emblems on it was the emblem that was in the unit. The colors, pre-war, the bright colors. After the war started, they painted all that stuff gray, and away went the nice colors. It was in that configuration and on Ford Islands when December 7th, 1941 came along, survived that. Chuck's got pictures of ducks on the back of the hangar and smoke rising over the front, and it survived that experience. A year later, approximately a year later, in January of 43, it was shipped to New Caledonia. Now, what's the significance of New Caledonia? New Caledonia is an island that's off the east coast of Australia. It's in the southern Pacific, about 400 miles or so low south of the Solomon Islands. It was the fleet headquarters, major repair depot for the shipping of the time. If a ship got shot up, it went to New Caledonia to be repaired. If it was worse than that, it went back to the West Coast. Same with airplanes. They had dry dock facilities, major aircraft reconstruction, and so on. All this stuff got shipped to New Caledonia. They offloaded it there, and they signed it to units. One of the first units in that area was on Espirito Santos, which is in the New Hebrides, north of New Caledonia. And that was the major consolidation point for the invasion of Guadalcanal. Invasion of Guadalcanal started in August of 1942. So here's our duck arriving in New Caledonia about 6 months later after the start of the Battle of Guadalcanal. In March, this duck was assigned to CASU 3, Carrier Aircraft Service Unit 3. What do those guys do? They do all the maintenance for the groups. They are assigned to various squadrons to repair aircraft. This aircraft was, at that time, sent to CASU 3, a part of Marine Air Wing 1. What's the significance of Marine Air Wing 1? They were the early guys into Guadalcanal, the first squadrons of the Cactus Air Force. And they were mostly the squadrons that covered the Solomon Island campaign. So there's our duck, CASU 3, part of Marine Air Wing 1, and it next shows up in Valle la Valle. If you look at the Solomon Islands, you've got Guadalcanal to the east, Tulagi, Savo, Rendova, Valle la Valle, Bougainville to the west. That whole campaign from Guadalcanal to Bougainville took about a year and a half. And our airplane here arrived in Valle la Valle mid that campaign. Now, the records are incomplete. I don't know whether it stayed on Valle la Valle or if it went to Bougainville, but they had seaplane bases all through those islands, a lot of them built by the Japanese. And I heard Joe Foss talk one time. Joe Foss was on Guadalcanal. And he flew in a duck, went out and do some ocean survey, or rescue, I should say, in a Dash 5 duck. A lot of records you see will reference Dash 5s or later because they built a lot more of them. So at the end of that campaign at Bougainville, the whole military moved on to the Philippines. The New Caledonia, Noumea became a backwater. Our duck here was shipped back to the West Coast and arrived back at his pool aircraft in mid-1944 in Seattle. It was then assigned to a scouting squadron, VS-50, and VS-50 did scouting in Alaska. Now, they had a lot of ducks in Alaska, Coast Guard in Yakutat, Port Angeles north of Washington, Kodiak Island. They'd ran a lot of ducks in that part of the world. and this was one of them. Flew out of Sandpoint. Sandpoint Naval Air Station is a naval air station right in the center of Seattle on Lake Washington, and I would have killed it, been 23, next to the University of Washington, flying all day and chasing around at night. Must have been a great, great time. So it was with VS-50 doing scouting in Alaska for the next year and a half. Then they moved it to another maintenance unit, VS-55, and then moved it to another maintenance unit, Carrier Aircraft Service Unit 7, in Sandpoint. Now, the interesting coincidence about that is there was a young guy, 18 years old, wanted to be a Navy pilot, and he was colorblind. So they washed him out, and they put him in as a gunner and a radio operator in TBMs in the Pacific. He served in Okinawa, Saipan. He was on the carrier Bunker Hill. And when he left the service, they assigned him to Carrier Aircraft Service Unit 7 in Seattle. There's about a three-month overlap when this guy and this duck were at the same unit, and that guy's name is Paul Newman, the actor. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean much. It was just an interesting kind of aside. At the end of that that survey, they stricken this aircraft in 1947, shipped it to Chino, which is the old Cal Aero Field, and sold it surplus after the war. It was sold surplus after the war with a number of other aircraft, civilian owners, none of them very notable with one exception, and that was Jack Hardwick of El Monte, California. Jack, you know, had a number of these military aircraft go through his hands, and he's responsible for saving a number of them.